program was recorded earlier.
Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. June, we are in hotly, really, in an election season, and sometimes the choices don't seem that clear for us as Christians, and you think, well, there's this candidate or this, or sometimes there's a third or fourth candidate that really are way out there sometimes, and so you think it's just so frustrating. Why should we even vote? What's the purpose?
Oh, please, please vote for...
I will.
I mean, what I would say is, I know that a lot of people are lax on this, and they think, well, my vote doesn't... No, you have no concept, because it is huge, the opportunity that we have to do good, and we're told to be light. The Bible, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. In other words, our choices, and I'm going to say it this way. Over the years, I've seen a lot, I'm talking about the canvas of my voting years. I've learned to do something. It's not personality. It's policy. I mean, sometimes somebody has a certain personality that is less attractive to me, but what good can be done? What is the policy? Is it aligned biblically? For example, you look at multiple scriptures about policy, things that are going on. Even right now, as the Supreme Court position is going to be filled, and there are stands that the current candidate for the Supreme Court absolutely, by virtue of what I believe to be the case, not that I've seen documents on it, but being pro-life, I would have much more confidence in this particular justice being, it's called advice and consent. So the issue is, I do believe that if there is a seating of her taking the position of the vacancy on the Supreme Court, so that there will be 9 justices. More than most, I would have confidence that she would be aligned with a conscience for biblical truth. And I'm just saying, I know that time's passed. Again, not even talking about current. I'm thinking about a president who was caught with a horrible situation, but the people went on personality, and he is a charismatic kind of guy, and was. But there is what's fascinating is to look at what is the policy. What is the policy? In other words, biblical principles that are amazing. I'm going to give you something that I think is fascinating. In 1786, you talk about a person who was an example that people followed, John Witherspoon. He became president of what is now called Princeton. And while there, he taught biblical principles of government to his students. Listen to this. Of the 478 young men who graduated during his tenure, listen, 114 became ministers, 13 were state senators, 3 became U.S. Supreme Court judges. This is amazing. 20 were U.S. senators. 33 were U.S. congressmen. Aaron Burr Jr. Became Vice President of the United States and one of the most effective presidents. James Madison became President of the United States. As a Christian, what we're saying is John Witherspoon exerted an enormous influence on the direction of American government. And so can you. But you've got to take action and vote. Do you understand? When there are policies, when there are principles, for example, many, many people, they made decisions based on the Supreme Court and the judiciary. Many, many, many Christians voted in one way because that was what was stated that would be priority, is for religious liberty, and all that was promised, promise made, promise kept, again and again and again and again. And so I think I've counseled some people who've said, I don't know how I can vote, you know. And so I'll say, don't vote for personality, vote for principle. Are there godly principles that are being endorsed?
Do you have a heart for people who are hurting and broken? You want to throw them a lifeline, but sometimes you just don't know how. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new, one-of-its-kind caregiver training designed just for you. Using video-based instruction from leading experts, plus relevant case studies and interactive exercises, you can discover how to effectively provide support, encouragement, and spiritual care. The ultimate goal is to connect lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. This 10-week Lifeline to Hope program can train and deploy a small, effective group of caregivers in your church and community. Be the person in your church that brings together caregivers to become better equipped to meet the hurting. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. Lifelinetohope.org.
In these challenging times, millions are suffering with more stress, anxiety, and fear due to the unknowns a global pandemic can bring to daily life. What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear is a free download from Hope for the Heart. You'll discover what Scripture says on these issues and see how God cares about the struggles we face in life. Simply go to hopefortheheart.org/COVID to download your free resource titled, What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear? It's quick and easy to get your digital copy of this free resource that is filled with hope for these troubling times. That title again is, What is God's Heart on Stress, Anxiety, and Fear? You can find it at hopefortheheart.org/COVID. That's hopefortheheart.org/COVID.
Welcome back to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we want to help you, and we want to help you help others. If you have questions or concerns about the voting process, how you can do that in an informed way and in a wise way, a godly informed way, we have Keys for Living called Decision-Making, Discerning the Will of God, helping you make sense out of all your decisions. Call the Care Center now at 800-488-HOPE. And they can pray with you and help you access the appropriate resources for you or as you help someone else. And again, those resource line is 800-488-4673. You may also email us at customercare@hopefortheheart.org. That's customercare@hopefortheheart.org with any topics or resources discussed in tonight's program. And so you can also check out the broadcast app. It is called Hope for the Heart, and that's a free download for you wherever you find your apps. Again, it's called Hope for the Heart, and check that out. Let's get to our caller for tonight, Angel.
Welcome to Hope in the Night. How can we help you?
Yes, ma'am.
Would you like to share the reason for your call?
I had called for prayer when I was going through a tough time.
Okay.
And I needed prayer in my life. And I've been praying every day since then.
That's a good thing to do, because it's seeking God's will and letting Him persuade us to communicate with us His will for our lives. What have you been asking wisdom for?
Let's see. I'm divorced now. I've been asking wisdom because I was mostly alone in my marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been asking God to bless me with another husband, so I'm dealing with loneliness right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a miscarriage. My mom passed. My husband left. And I had a fiancé, so it's like everybody's gone, and it's just me.
Well, so you're saying your husband left.
Yes.
Did you feel abandoned?
I felt abandoned because the whole marriage, he was living a double life. He left me at home, and I was there, and I felt alone then. So it wasn't until last year, and he decided he wanted to get out. He knew that it wasn't fair leaving me at home all the time. So last year he said he was going to free me up so that I can't have a family with someone.
So a double life, does that mean he was having an affair with someone else?
Yes.
I'm so sorry. How did you find out?
One day I got out of church and I seen him in the back seat of the car with her. And every time we go somewhere, he would take pictures with other women. So he would disrespect me in front of my face.
Hmm.
And he told me we wasn't together. And we've been together since 2004. And he said, we're not together. Yes, I said, yes, we are. We have marriage papers together. So that's how I found out.
So he really wasn't committed to the marriage covenant. There was no covenant in his eyes or in his heart to be faithful to you.
No, he said he can do what he want to do. And I was faithful the whole time.
So did he present himself as an authentic Christian or not really?
He said that he was a Christian and believer. We started out going to church together, Bible class, and then he got out. I would go by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So those times I would go myself, he would be doing those things behind my back.
Mm. Wow.
But only God knows his true heart, what he really is.
Well, it's clear that when a person says, I can do what I want to do, especially when it is against the will of God and the Word of God, then there is no allegiance to allowing the Lord Jesus be Lord of his life. So there's no witness, and I say witness. Witness, you know, is someone who looks and testifies in a court of law. Well, there's no witness that you saw, and that as you're telling me, I would never assume that that person would be an authentic Christian. Anybody can say, I'm a Christian. Or they can say, I believe in Jesus. But I've said on this program, in fact, just the other night, I said to someone, The Bible says the demons believe and they tremble, meaning there's no yielding of their will to the will of the Lord, Jesus Christ. Is that right?
Right.
Okay, so we have to be very aware, just because somebody talks about Christ or visits a church or joins a church or is in a Bible study. If you'll remember, when Satan sought to tempt Jesus, there was a time of temptation, and he used Scripture. Now, he perverted Scripture. He didn't use the whole context of Scripture. Do you remember that? It would seem that when we look at when we have an opportunity to be with others, we actually have an opportunity to see if there is a comprehension. If you know, it is so interesting. Some people can talk about Jesus, but it's not the Jesus of the Bible. There are people who, like, they can refer to the Jesus in the Quran, but that's not at all the Jesus of the Bible. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So I just know that you've experienced pain and betrayal, infidelity, on the part of someone who presented himself in one way, but it's a counterfeit, it's not true. Is that safe to say?
Yes.
Okay. So therefore, we learn hard lessons, valuable lessons, the hard way. And that is, I know that you are lonely, and it's understandable, because you said that not only did your husband leave, did I understand that you thought you had a relationship with someone who would be a Christian? You were engaged. Is that right?
Yes.
And so what happened there?
And I thought that we was going to be together forever. Until one day I came home from work, and he was like, turn the light off. I have to be up work early. And I was coming in the house from work, and my family called me. And she says, how come you can't turn on your own light in your own house? And she said that she said you should be able to turn your light on when you want to. So my family was like, that's not the person for you. And he thought that I was letting my family control me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had to get things ready for the next morning, like my lunch and my clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Saturday night going on Sunday. So when I left to go to work Sunday and came home, he had got all his belongings and gone, and I haven't heard anything since. We was going to get married. He proposed to me.
Oh.
And I did end up getting pregnant at 7:40. This happened. I had a miscarriage on August 7th. I was about 2 or 3 months.
Oh.
And I ended up losing my child.
Mm.
But we were going to get married. I know you're supposed to be married and then have the baby, but we were going to get married.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to do things how God wanted me to.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been praying every day for God to restore that and him to come back. And he left on July 7th, and it's now October,
mm-hmm.
and nothing has happened yet.
Well, in terms of who he is, do you believe that he has the qualities of I'm talking about now character. Character means the person who has sacrificial love for you, the person who has the qualities that you would admire or would feel would be essential. For example, what kind of character would he have? How would you describe it if he packs up everything, doesn't talk with you, and he abandons you? What kind of character is that?
I think he should have communicated and tell me how he really felt.
Mm-hmm.
Because I tried getting in contact with him and I still ain't heard anything.
Okay. You know, it could be helpful for you to write down if you were to be married. Write down the qualities that are the, what I'll call the non-negotiables. For example, would it be, well, you tell me, are there qualities that you would say, okay, no matter what, if I'm going to marry, this person, my marriage partner, must have these qualities. Do you have certain ones that you've thought about in regard to that?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't you mention several of those to me?
Faithfulness.
Hmm.
And you're right, communicating in a respectful way is important.
Mm-hmm. Tell you what,
and showing your concern.
Yeah, during this break, why don't you just write down what you think are the most significant qualities in a marriage partner?
Okay.
Because, you know, many times we think, I'm not sure what I really want. I haven't thought enough about it. But if you're going to live a lifetime with someone, it's very important that you are clear about the non-negotiables.
Addiction, abuse, violence, grief and loss, depression and suicide, marital and family stress. These are only some of the problems the church faces today. As a pastor, you may feel overwhelmed with the needs of those in your church and community. As a first responder within your faith community, how do you manage the crisis around you? Imagine raising up those in your church to come alongside you, helping you meet the needs of hurting people. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new, one-of-its-kind caregiver training program for your church. This 10-week video-based program can train and deploy a small, effective group of caregivers and help you launch a dynamic caregiving ministry. Equip your church to connect lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. Lifelinetohope.org.
As we each solve the puzzle that is our life, we often have questions we can't answer. Usually they're little nagging questions, but sometimes they're larger. So large, in fact, the answer or even the question itself can have life-changing consequences. June Hunt believes the best answers to these tough questions come from God Himself, and He's given us those answers in the Bible. For more than 20 years now, June has helped callers find these biblical answers and apply them to their lives. You can talk with June on her radio program, Hope in the Night, about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or another concern in your life. Call 800-NIGHT-17. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call now, 800-644-4817.
You're listening to Hope in the Night, a ministry of hope for the heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. We exist because of your ongoing prayers and continued support of Hope for the Heart, and we thank you. If you have questions about these topics or any number of topics, we have over 100 keys for living that will help you address your particular issue. Call the Care Center now at 800-488-HOPE. And they can help you access the appropriate resources. Again, that's 800-488-4673. We'd like to point out the keys for living called loneliness, how to be alone but not lonely. And again, you can get in touch with us at 800-488-HOPE. Again, also check out the website at hopefortheheart.org/store. Find our new updated keys for living, the Lifeline to Hope online training that you may want for yourself or for your church or a group in your church to help others, and also June's biblical resources. Again, check that out at hopefortheheart.org/store. Drop by there, spend a little time searching around and finding resources that will help you. And let's get back to our caller, Angel.
Well, my friend, as I'm hearing you, I'm hurting for you, because it is very painful when you've entrusted yourself to someone or to someone's, and they're unfaithful. They don't reach out to you as though you're significant. Just as in the case of your unfaithful husband, who saw nothing wrong with what he was doing, and then yet he was absolutely displaying marital infidelity, and then for you to be involved with a man who proposed to you, but then he just disappears. He just packs up, and you're not even aware of what his plan was. So this feels like double betrayal. Is that correct?
That's correct, and I really wanted a child, and I lost a child. Mm-hmm. And my one of my acquaintances called to tell him, and no response. It's like he wasn't concerned.
So,
and I'm hurting inside, and I have to live everyday life.
Yes, yes. When you think about God's plan, He already knows that we're going to choose wrong. In fact, the Bible even says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. It's like, I'm going to do what I want to do, the way I want to do it. And we can think we're right, and yet do it wrong. Now, it's interesting that experience can be, and I'll say, a wrong experience on our part can be one of the most poignant teachers, because then we begin to see the way God wants us to see our lives and ourselves, and then He has a solution. What I love is when He says, The Bible in Jeremiah 29:11 says, and this is God speaking, He says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So He has already figured out how He's going to use those painful experiences for a purpose. For example, There would have been a time in my life where I would have had no idea what the qualities that were highly significant to God for us when we enter into a marriage relationship. It would never have even thought, it would never have even been in my thought life, my thought patterns, to try to think what the qualities would be. Now, later, there can be an impetus for that. And I have an idea, these two significant relationships, because both of them were significant, they have taught you some things. Is that safe to say?
Yes.
Okay. How old are you, my friend?
40.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at your age and thinking about what would be average. And I can tell you, if you live an average lifestyle of a woman here in the United States, you will live longer than double that age of 40. So I think it's a great idea and a great opportunity to make sure that it's like an arrow. I'm going to say it this way. The Bible says, blessed is the man whose quiver is full. A quiver holds arrows that you shoot with a bow and arrow. It's that activity. And he sees us as arrows in that respect. Now, it would be terrible if here we are here on Earth and all of a sudden we're aimed at the wrong target. Aimed at the wrong target. Because when God created us, he knows the target we need to have. And the scripture that I'm referring to, it's kind of interesting. It's in Psalm 127. It says, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of arrows. And the point is, when God created you, and you were a little girl, he knew the plan that he would have for you. And the reason I'm even talking about that is, I know you're wounded, and you are justifiably wounded. And on a personal level, I just don't want you hurt again by making the wrong choice of a man that you think would be faithful to you. Let me ask you, do you care about that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I know you were thinking that this man, the first man that you, and you did marry him, I do agree that faithfulness, you mentioned what, you know, one of the qualities would be faithfulness. Well, the reason you would certainly want to have a faithful husband is because you know what it's like to not have a faithful husband. And therefore, it can be much more poignant. I grew up with an arrogant father, prideful, arrogant. He said Christianity's a crutch. He, you know, just that was so painful to me by my experience that I don't respect arrogant men. I meet arrogant men, but they wound people. They hurt people because they're typically thinking much more about themselves than someone else. So you and I have an opportunity to learn the qualities that are really important. But before, I'm going to ask you about what you think is important. Tell me about your spiritual journey with God.
I accepted Christ when I was a young age.
Mm-hmm.
I would try to go to church and go to Bible class to learn more about the Bible and be more strong in the Lord. And I pray every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to do things as Christ would do them, like have charity in my heart for others.
Oh.
And try to do things like a Christian and act like a Christian.
Okay. Well, I know that you were thinking, well, if we have sex, we could do that because we're going to get married. This is the second man. How do you feel about that decision now?
That wasn't wrong. I would do it like my first, get married first.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
we did everything like right in my first marriage, well, my only first
mm-hmm,
marriage.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that he ended up doing the wrong thing, and
yeah,
he didn't want children. He was just, it seemed like I was just in the background so he get through having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just sitting at home while he was out doing whatever he wanted. And I kept praying and asked God to restore it and change him. He just didn't want to.
Mm-hmm. Well, God is willing to change a person, but he will not force anyone to change. He does give us free will. And it is appropriate to pray, you know, Lord, this person needs to change life. I pray he will one day see his need to receive you, to literally change him inside out. But God is willing to change people. But he communicates to us that he will communicate his will, like Adam and Eve, tells them, I will supply your needs, and tells them one thing not to do. What did they do? They did that one thing that he told them not to do, meaning they were given free will. So I think then let's talk about what is God's highest purpose for you. Because you see, you're here on earth for a period of time. And I know you don't want to a repeat of what happened with either of these men. So let's look at it from a different standpoint. Let's look at purpose in life, God's purpose for you. Because once you begin to learn God's purpose for you, that gives you the direction. That enables your arrow, meaning you, to hit the target.
Caregivers come from different backgrounds, education, and experience, but they all have one thing in common, a desire to help those who are hurting. Lifeline to Hope is a brand new caregiver training offered by Hope for the Heart. This 10-week video-based program can help you deploy a small, effective group of caregivers in your church. Biblical caregivers who can help meet the needs of hurting people. Connecting lives in crisis with a new or renewed life in Christ. This comprehensive training shows the biblical model for caregiving and includes sessions on effective listening, crisis intervention, family dynamics, having a ministry of presence, and more. Proverbs 11:14 reminds us that where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Discover more at lifelinetohope.org. lifelinetohope.org.
Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult,
She struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
Listening to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver. We'll get back to our caller in a moment. Our care teams are ready to take your calls at 800-488-HOPE, and they can help guide you to God's hope through our resources, and that's 800-488-4673. We want to mention the keys for living called Purpose in Life, pinpointing your priorities. Make sure you get in touch with us again. It's 800-488-HOPE. Now, if you'd like to speak with June about a specific situation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, maybe something's going on in your life and you'd like to get some godly counsel on that and insight, call us at 800-917. That's 800-NIGHT-17. Just call and follow the prompts. Leave us a detailed message, and we will get back to you as soon as possible to schedule you for the next available Hope in the Night. That number again, 800-NIGHT-17 or 800-NIGHT-17. Make sure you get the help that you would be searching for. Well, we want to get back to our caller for tonight in a final segment with Angel.
Well, my friend, let me make sure I'm in touch with you for your purpose for calling this program Hope in the Night. What were you hoping to get from our talk together?
To be encouraged that my dark situation will turn out in the light, to give me hope that me being alone, God is going to use me through all of this to gain His will from it.
Very good. Well, I asked...
Because I'm tired of being sad, I just want to be encouraged.
Yes. Well, one encouraging, really poignant scripture is Romans 8:28, that God works all things together for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Meaning, you have learned, and I'm assuming this, that character matters. Character counts. Is that right?
Right.
So it matters that you be sure that you have someone of Christ-like character, someone who is faithful, as you've said, instead of just to have somebody if you were feeling lonely. There are ways that God wants you to invest your time in the lives of others, and that means not just in a marriage, but who you are with makes a huge difference. And when He promises that He will work for good everything in your life, He means it. And you need to, in fact, some people call it the 8:28 principle, Romans 8:28, that God will use for good. There are going to be things that even the bad things can be used for good when we are willing to learn. So, by the way, what would you do anything differently in regard to either of these men and your life or decisions, would you do something differently? If so, what would that be?
Well, let's see. I look forward to knowing the character more.
Mm-hmm.
Not going by what they say.
Good.
Because you'll only know them, but time will tell how you get to know them.
Mm-hmm. And how long had you dated, for example, the first person that you were married to?
I met him in 2004, and I began to know his character later on. I guess about 3 or 4 years, and I stayed there that long, dealing with all of that, and just kept praying.
Mm-hmm. So you dated him how long before you married?
2 years.
Okay. Well, usually you can tell somebody's character within that time, but sometimes you may not know how important that is. What about the second guy?
Well, that was after my marriage, a year later. We've mm-hmm. known each other a year.
Okay.
He just didn't want my family interfering with us. He was faithful, nice, kind, mm-hmm. was concerned for me more than my ex-husband did.
Mm-hmm.
He just up and left because my family interfered.
Do you think that was a mature way of handling it?
No, it wasn't.
Okay. So it's helpful for you to have somebody who's mature, right?
Right.
Okay. Now, one of the things that we talked about, or that I mentioned briefly, was you being sure you have the right target. Because if you're an arrow, by God's design, you know, I used to say that people can, you know, it's like if you're aiming at nothing, you're bound to hit it. It's easy to see an arrow just shoot out someplace. I mean, we can imagine that, but if you're not aiming at anything, that's not helpful. But many people, I've called this program. They've called me and said, I don't have any purpose in life. So, I want you to think about, what would be, can you imagine, what if you were to answer, what do you think God's highest purpose would be for you or anyone? What would be God's highest purpose?
To seek him first and put him first and to put him first in everything and pray to him and live for him. Because he's coming back one day. He wants us to live for him.
Okay. And there is a scripture that says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, a lot of people, they could give answers like, well, it could be to be in church or to read the Bible and all kinds of things. Would you like to know the scripture that reveals God's highest purpose for you?
Yes.
Okay. Remember I talked about Romans 8:28? Well, the verse after that, after all things work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose, the verse after that tells you what your highest purpose is. And that is, you, my friend, are predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. You are predestined. God's already figured out how he's going to conform you to the character of Christ. So if you're conformed to the character of Christ, will you put first things first, put the Lord first in your life?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And all these other things
will be added.
Yeah. So you know, when you think about it, if he has already figured out, because he's predestined you to be conformed to the character of Christ, that means it is a matter of you yielding and saying, all right, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'm willing to yield my will to your will to be conformed to the character of Christ. And that means whatever he would do in me or to me or through me, I'm willing. So just as there are many, many people who live together prior to marriage. They justify all these things. And for you to say, okay, if I'm going to be conformed to the character of Christ, I'm going to do what Jesus would do, and I will not compromise. And then you begin to feel good about being a person of integrity. Integrity means being the same in the dark as you are in the light. The same in the dark as you are in the light. So that it's not just among good people, church people, that you're a certain way. It's that your whole lifestyle is yielded to the will of God. And what he'll do is he will start moving you to do certain things, to literally help others. See, I hear that you actually have an understanding of what it would be to have a vibrant relationship with Christ. Is that right?
Yes.
So, it may be that, well, have you thought about teaching young people?
Oh, I used to be a substitute teacher years ago, but now I'm in retail. I haven't been back to the education field. So I haven't thought about it lately. Lately, when I see a child, they come up to me and give me a hug, and I do something nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like give them a sticker, give them a smile, mm-hmm. encourage them in school. Like
mm-hmm.
if they come in the store, I say, do good in school. Or the baby say, can I have a sticker? And I give them a sticker or something.
Yeah. You know, I will just say that when, I was not raised in a biblically based church. And I saw what, it was extraordinary when I was in high school. And all of a sudden it's like, oh my goodness, all these people know so much. I knew nothing. I was a blank page. And when I was in college, in my sophomore year, there was a very wise woman, incredibly smart, incredibly competent, and she said, June, I want you to start teaching youth. Now, I'm not saying that you should teach youth. I'm just saying I knew nothing about the Bible, but oh, did I start those Sunday mornings when most kids were sleeping in, most students slept in, they did not go to church. But I was teaching teenagers who many times even were rejected by their own parents. And it was phenomenal. I want you to pray, God, use me. Use me to help others.
We will send resources to tonight's caller. We have Keys for Living called Loneliness, How to Be Alone But Not Lonely, also Purpose in Life, Pinpointing Your Priorities. We can send those out free of charge because of your support of our ministry. We thank you for your participation in that. And our Hope Care representatives are ready to take your calls if you'd like to access some of these resources. The number is 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. And our materials and past programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. Also, check out the broadcast app called Hope for the Heart. That's a free download. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.